tonight is going to be very much a teaching lesson. The title, I'll tell you ahead of time, this is called Divine Healing Simplified. It may or may not become a series, I don't know. But again, most of you know that starting a little bit before the first of the year, because we lost several really, they're all precious, but three that I was particularly close to, we lost some good, really good people last year to cancer. And I just, you can do two things. You can give up and quit, or you can bless God, dig in, and let's stop this. Let's find out what's wrong. You know, let's fix it. Because I believe Jesus already has fixed it. He's waiting on us to find out how to walk in that, see. So most of you know I began an intensive study. I got some assignments from the Lord, some books He wanted me to read, certain men He wanted me to study. And I've been at that. You can tell I've been at that this year. But all of a sudden now, it's like so many things, it's like there's some kind of curtain, like a veil maybe, that's been on my eyes, that suddenly that thing's fallen away. I'm seeing things so clear. And, you know, how did Dave say that? The power of deception is that you don't know you're deceived. You know? And so, of course, I knew something was wrong. Otherwise, we wouldn't have lost them. Now, is that clear enough? Is that plain? Because it was not God's will on anybody. You might as well give it up. Nobody will ever convince me it was God's will. It wasn't. Okay? So I began this intensive study and started listening and reading after, again, certain books and certain men and statements that they would make. It's okay to be transparent. We're family, right? Yes, sir. Yeah, almost forgot. I have a message for you that will watch this or hear this over the internet. Now, this is a teaching lesson tonight primarily for the day when you yourself will be ministering healing to the sick. But whether you're here tonight or listening and you are sick, you can receive your healing tonight. It's going to be easier for you at the end of this service than at the beginning. But you'll understand that. You can be well tonight. I was instructed by the Lord to tell you. So I told you. Hallelujah. So one of the statements I heard early from one of these men that had a tremendous, in fact, this one's still alive and has a really tremendous healing ministry today. He made this statement, and I'm going to be transparent. Because when I heard it the first time, I bristled a little bit. And all of these arguments immediately come up within me. Here's the statement. You ready? You might want to write this down. Because, by the way, he's right and I was wrong. The statement is, the only hindrance to healing, you got it? The only hindrance to healing is that you believe there is a hindrance to healing. Well, you just wouldn't believe the objections that rose up in me the first time I heard that. I had all kinds of objections, you know. And you hate to admit you got a little Pharisee in you. But see, I know. But right on the other hand, we got to be open to these things, because I know that, you know, it's like Dave says, Gary, don't quit praying the mysteries. These are a lot of things we don't understand yet. If that wasn't the case, we'd already be in revival. God's not withholding it from us, you know. So we have to acknowledge that our self-assuredness is going to get slapped around some. And I'm ready to repent whenever I'm wrong. How about you? Is that okay? Is that fair enough? Okay, so now did everyone have a chance? I'm going to say it again just in case you didn't get that wrote down. The way he said it was, the only hindrance to healing is that you believe there is a hindrance to healing. Now, if objections are rising up in you like they did in me, I understand. I could quote verses just like you can right now. But as I've been on this journey, I'm telling you, I'm sure swinging more in that direction. And you'll be more that way by the time we get through with tonight. So open up your Bibles to Matthew 9 and Luke 8. I'm going to look at two events here. Divine Healing Simplified. Now, I've been teaching on trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and that has everything to do with mortification. Many of you saw the demonstration that I did at the conference, and I took some sheets of paper, and I wrote various bad fruit on there, like drunkenness, quarreling, nicotine addiction. You could put drug addiction. You could put jealousy, envy, love of money. We could have all, and I took them like leaves on a tree. I put some in one hand and some in the other, right? And the reason we have all that is that we're all born as bad trees. We're born with the sap, if you'll allow me, the spirit on the inside of us is the law of sin and death. And passed down to us from great, 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 great grandpappy Adam. And we're all born like that. And try as you might, you're going to wind up with bad fruit. But then you get born again. See, Jesus said, how you know really if you're born again? Well, he says you'll know them by their fruit. Then the Holy Spirit told me, he says, the only way for the fruit to change is that the tree itself has to change. See, there has to be a different sap running through you. There has to be a different spirit running through you. You have to be born again and have the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus at your core rather than the law of sin and death. And I remember the very first week that I got saved, and weren't even going to church yet. You know, we listening to Michael some, but we wouldn't get no real preaching on the outside, but there was a preacher on the inside. And it's that law of life. And I wasn't even baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. I was raised Baptist. Come on. I love the Baptist. But anyway, it was a while yet before couldn't Shondi at this point. Okay. But still, that didn't stop the new nature. And so I've got all these things and within the first 2 weeks, and in the demonstration I did, and this is real quick because that's not the lesson tonight, but real quick, as I yielded to the new sheriff in town, as I yielded to that new life, it's amazing. The first couple of weeks, alcoholism dropped off my limbs. Pornography dropped off my limbs. Cursing, swearing dropped off my limbs. Bad jokes, you know, dirty jokes dropped off our limbs. A big part of the love of money, I'm not saying all of it, but a big chunk of it fell off. That's real mortification. See, and then I understand more clearly how accurate Dave was in Romans 8 where it says, it is through the Spirit. And that's little s. Remember how he just hammered us, lovingly hammered us. It's not the Holy Spirit. He said, if the Holy Spirit is the one that makes you free from sin, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free. No, it is that new nature. That law of life on the inside. And I saw it so clear. I'm a tree of righteousness. So are you. Amen. A planting of the Lord. And mortification comes as you yield to that new nature. And that bad fruit starts falling off. But see, we're supposed to then remember Acts chapter 1 where Jesus said now to them, he says, I want you don't leave town. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. For you shall receive power after you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So you know the story. They 120 of them waited in the upper room. It was only about 10 days, by the way, that they waited. Because God had foreordained. He wanted it to happen on the day of Pentecost. And that's the day that it happened. Nobody else, by the way, was ever told to tarry. Just so you'll know. You reread it for yourself. Nobody else was ever told to tarry. Okay? You can get it. Dave says, and I believe it, God's best is you get saved and filled on the same day. I believe that's God's best. Well, now you not only have the new nature working on the inside of you, now you've got the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to teach on this tonight, but I saw a new little teaching vision that's not ready for prime time yet. But I'm going to share this much of it with you. I said, because, you know, we have all kinds of pictures. I don't know about you. My Sunday school class, I saw the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, right? You saw that painting? Here's Jesus. And here comes the dove. And the Holy Ghost showed me a different picture. How many of you know the Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord? Amen. So we got a spirit on us, on the inside of us. At the new birth, Mark 4, Jesus talks about nobody lights a candle. See, that's what happened when you got born again. He lit your candle. You have a light. So I saw this vision. Here I am. I'm this candle, man. My candle is lit. He's lit me. I've been born again. But then all of a sudden I said, what about this baptism in the Holy Ghost? And in this vision, more to come later, but it's too good to hold back. I saw the candle. I knew that was me. Y'all remember the pillar of fire from the Old Testament? I don't know how you picture that. But suddenly here comes this pillar of fire. And me, and it just enveloped me. And how do you distinguish where the candle ends and the pillar of fire begins? That's you. That's that power you've got on the inside. You're a fire tornado. You got a power tornado on the inside of you. See? More to come on that. He's still teaching. Isn't that good though? That's more like, yeah, I know it said he come down in the form. He's peace. Yeah, he's peace. But he's a fire. And it'll go along with this verse too. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Anyway, more to come. Have you found Matthew 9? Real familiar passage. Now, Luke gives us some more information that Matthew doesn't. So we're going to have to read this in two versions, Matthew 9 and Luke, to get everything. And it's the woman with the issue of blood. You've probably been hearing about it all your Christian life. So, I didn't finish my lead-in. So when teaching on trees of righteousness. Now, what we're about to look at here, I mean, Jesus healed by a variety of ways. Sometimes he would speak the word only. Sometimes he would lay hands on them. One time he spit on the ground and made clay and put it on the guy's eyes. Another guy, he just came and spit in his eye. How many of you ready to obey God on that one? Closest I've come, he told me to put my finger in that lady's mouth, you know. But, you know, how do you want me to do this? And you hear, what? Anyway. But this one we're going to look at here is, if you're going to get the image of the tree, Jesus is the ultimate. Who is our pattern? Jesus, looking unto who? Jesus is our pattern. Now, what we're about to look at is the ultimate tree with fruit of healing just hanging there. See, that's the message. The kingdom of God is at hand. If you see an apple tree and that thing's laden down with apples and you walk over there, isn't that apple at hand? Now watch Jesus, because we're going to see. Now in this one, this is one of the purest images we have of Jesus, the tree of righteousness, with the fruit hanging on his limbs. Okay, now watch this. Matthew 9, starting in verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, and if you look this up in the Greek or the Amplified, it's a present tense, active tense. And in Amplified it says, for she continually said. She said it, and she said it, and she said it, and she said it. You hear me? For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. That's pretty quick, isn't it? Made whole from that hour. All right. Now go to Luke 8. Let's look at the same event because he gives us more details. Luke 8:43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Oh, now notice this. Which had spent all her living upon physicians. If you read up, if you study a little bit about this issue of blood, most likely what she had, it would make her very anemic. It'd make her weak, difficult to work, and it's getting worse. So not only now is she a weak, sick woman, now she's a weak, sick, broke woman. In bad shape, okay? Neither could be healed of any, and I'm sure the doctors tried, okay? Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And I like this one even. See, up there it said, from that hour. How about, and immediately? And immediately, her issue of blood staunched, which means stopped. Say immediately. Say, I love immediately. I believe in immediately. I will see immediately. Okay. Jesus said, oh, God, I'm trying not to have a running fit. If you get this. He said, who touched me? Now, religious people have a hard time with this. Jesus knows everything. This is talking about Jesus, the man. Okay? Son of God, Son of Man. And in his human brain, you allow me, in the man part of him, he does not even know who she is. That's going to be important in a minute. Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. So this happened not in some private place. In my mind, Jesus is going down the street. He's actually going to Jairus' house. Jairus has come because his daughter's near the point of death. And they're on the way. And there's a group going. His disciples are going. And there's all kinds of people. He said, well, there's a whole throng touching thee. What do you mean who touched you? And so he said, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me. Now, he didn't mean physically, did he? Somebody touched him with faith. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And don't get all hung up on the word virtue. If you look it up, it's the word dunamis. Why they put virtue there, I don't know. Nearly everywhere else, it's translated power. For I perceive that power is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. Because you got to remember, under the law, it was illegal for a woman with the issue of blood to go out in public first, and especially go touch a man, a rabbi, a teacher. So she's trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed. There it is again, immediately. Oh, and I love this. And he said unto her, and she doesn't know how he's going to react. Is he going to be legalistic like the Pharisees? How dare you? Don't you know the law? How dare you come out in public? He doesn't know what to expect. I mean, she doesn't know what to expect. But he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Man, do you love that story or what? Now, it is important to note, and I've done my research, there is no promise in the Old Covenant that a person can be healed by touching the hem of this garment. In Sunday school class, and still today, some people teach, they'll go all the way back to the high priest robe, because there was information about the hem of that garment. You know, there was pomegranates on it, and there were bells on it. Y'all remember that? In fact, when the high priest went in once a year, they're listening for the bells. That means he's still alive. If the bells stopped and they had a rope tied around his ankle, and if he wasn't pure enough when he went in there, if the bells stop after a little while, drag him out by the foot, you go next. You know, anyway. And there is things about the pomegranate. You know, I've heard all those lessons. But then if you'll do Dave's message and assimilate the books and pray in other tongues, one day it'll dawn on your lightning quick mind. Wait a minute. They're talking about the high priest's garment. Jesus is of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is not a Levite. What she's touching is not the priest's garment. This is the common man's garment. In fact, what she really touched, I wrote it down. This was not a priest's garment. Jesus was not a Levite. This was the common square garment thrown over the shoulders that all Jews were required to wear to distinguish them from other nations. Every man in that street, each and every one of them, had exactly the same garment with exactly the same hem thrown over their shoulder. And really, that hymn is better translated fringe. You've seen them. It's the prayer shawl. It's a thing that they throw over their shoulder. They've got it with them all the time. And in movies, you'll see them. They'll take it and they'll put it up over their head. That's the garment. That's what she touched. And every man on that street had one. There's nothing special. You got that? It's not the garment that got her healed. You got this? I love that. And she, now, how she came up with this, anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, that's an important note. That's important to note. This is not the high priest, no priestly garment here. This is the common garment that every man on that street had. All of them had the same kind of thing. Number two, I got a bunch of questions here. Number one, whose faith was used to obtain this healing? It's the woman. You did good. Give yourself a check mark there. All right, next question. Well, now, who determined the method of her receiving her healing? The woman did? What about the sovereignty of God? Now, wait a minute. There's not even a promise. I've searched. You can't find a promise if you touch the hem of Messiah's garment and whether you shall be healed. There isn't it. She come up with this herself. You watching? At any point, if the idea comes to you, I'm going to lay my hand on that computer screen. And that's my touch. And when I do that, I shall be healed. I believe immediately you will be healed. It wasn't God that came up with that idea. She came up with it. All right. Here's another question. See, we're talking about divine healing simplified. So it was her faith. She determined the method to receive her healing. Was it necessary for Jesus to know the root cause of her disease? He didn't even know who she was. You know all this stuff about, and again, if you got help from inner healing, God bless you. I know there's some help to counseling. I just can't find where Jesus ever did it. His main counsel was, you're healed, now go and sin no more. Okay? No. He did not have to find the root cause of her disease. He did not need to know the name of her disease, did he? Okay. Was it necessary for him to rebuke generational curses?
No.
What? But what if great-great-grandpappy did something really bad? Somebody said, well, he's dead. And buried. That's right. And it went with him. Now, she's not a believer, but if you're a believer, I'll just tell you now, your generation goes back one. Jesus is your Adam. The life in you does not go back really to great-great-grandpappy. It goes back one to Jesus. I like that. All right. How about another one? Did Jesus counsel her first regarding forgiveness? Now we're tipping over a lot of sacred cows here. Now, do you, Gary, recommend forgiveness? You betcha. Did it prevent healing? No. How about counseling them after they're healed? That's the worst thing come upon me. See, it's we should teach forgiveness. But the only hindrance to healing is that you believe there is a hindrance to healing. I keep meditating these things, and I'm finding that statement to be true. Okay? How about this one? Did Jesus recommend a new diet and exercise regimen for her? See, to have a healing ministry in the charismatic church today, all you need to do is be kind of knowledgeable regarding diet and exercise, and you can have a great healing ministry. Now, I'm all about diet and exercise and living right, and we should be good stewards of the temple God gave us. But I don't see where he said a word to her. You know, go eat tomatoes for a year, vegetables, whatever. No, she just got healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. It just get the image again. Here's Jesus walking down that street. He is the tree of righteousness. And not only is all that bad stuff purged, but now that life of God is so abundant in him with the power of the Holy Ghost. Fruit is hanging off of him like apples on a tree. And you just come, she just came and touched and received her healing. And I believe you can get that tonight too. Hallelujah. All right. So he didn't recommend a new diet or exercise regimen before she got healed. No? Y'all are awful quiet. Oh, now here's a big one. Fasten your seatbelt now. Come on. Drop your prophet rocks. Just a good question. Because let me tell you again what he said. Who touched me? So here's the question. Now, did Jesus make the decision to heal her? Is that good or no? He did not. That decision has already been made. If we ever get that part, this is what John Alexander Dowie knew, who had more healing without the baptism in the Holy Ghost than most Pentecostal preachers today with the Holy Ghost, because he knew two things. Number one, healing is in the atonement, meaning that the stripes on Jesus' back is for every man the same way the blood on the cross is for every man. And he also knew the other thing, the name of Jesus is above every name that is named. And with those two truths, he almost single-handedly brought healing back to the church. Now, he had some he should have got baptized in the Holy Ghost to have the Holy Ghost as his teacher to purge handles, because things got really bad later. I don't think it would have happened if he'd had Dave Roberson's tapes. I mean, you know, again, I'm going to tell you, mortification is more for your defense, more to help you than it is anything else, so that, you know, get rid of the handle so the enemy can't come and twist them. He got pretty twisted. But when those two truths alone, say, it reminds me of Mark 16, where he says, the Lord working with and confirming the word. And he had the word. He had that. Okay. So Jesus, it wasn't up to Jesus, was it? But you know how much that flies in the face of theology in the church? Well, he'll heal me whenever he decides to. I've had those very words said to me by God-loving, on their way, gentle, nice Christians. He'll heal me when he wants to. No, it's not really up to him. See, I get prophet rocks for saying that. Was it up to him there? Did he make the decision? She made the decision. All right, here's another one. Did God the Father make the decision to heal her? Do you think as Jesus was walking along, all of a sudden he heard a voice? Now, I'm all about John 5:30. As the voice comes to me, I render a decision. Okay? I'm all about that. And Tim knows I'm all about that. Been about that my whole life. Christian life. But see, you can tell from what he said, this did not happen. He's walking along and he hears a voice. Someone's about to touch you with faith. Release power. That didn't happen, did it? You know that didn't happen. No. His job was to stay full. His job was to stay pure. Alright? She decided to receive her healing. God the Father did not make that decision. He's been getting that across to me in a multitude of ways. So many of these meetings Jesus had were large. I mean, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people. What percentage of those were sick when they brought that? Well, how long was that healing line? Let's say it was 500. And so what if it was your healing line? All right. Time for the healing. Everyone that's sick, get on the line. Here they come, 500 of them. Now, as you're the minister and you're about to walk down that line, are you going to ask, Father, which of these do you want to heal and which one do you not want to heal? Would you do that if it was an altar call for salvation? No. See, we don't understand yet that healing is in the atonement exactly the same way that salvation is in the atonement. Anyway, God the Father didn't make. See, this is why you don't ever find in the New Testament anybody asking the Father to heal him. Because if you ask him, now this is the way I see it. If you ask him, he's on the throne, isn't he? And who isn't Jesus sitting at his right hand? You say, Father, would you please heal me? Well, he's going to look over at his son, maybe pull that robe back just a little, see the scars on his back. And he's going to respond to you, I already have. I already did that 2,000 years ago. I made that decision then. When are you going to make the decision to receive? But we have it in our mind that one by one, God's making this decision to heal. He He is not. He made that decision. I believe in the sovereignty of God. He sovereignly made that decision 2,000 years ago. Tim shared a prophecy with me recently, and I wish I'd have brought it, but it said something like this from God's. You remember that in the Old Testament where it says there was not one feeble one among them? God says from His point of view with the church today, there is not one feeble one among you. Not one. But you look at him, you go, well, yeah, they are. Look at there. Sick, blind, crippled. He goes, no, I need you to look at the stripes. I made that decision. That healing has already been provided. From my point of view, there's not one feeble one among you. Here's another one. Now, some of these are a little sarcastic. Some of these are just, you know, they're just Gary. I couldn't resist it, though. Did Jesus require an offering of any kind in order to heal her? No, you got to give one of those Cornelius offerings. See? You got to get God's attention. Haven't y'all ever been in one of those services? Boy, yeah. All right, we'll go past that one. I won't. Are we told the lady fasted and prayed first in order to be healed? No. Divine healing simplified. If I can get these pages together. Here we go. Now, that's it about her. Now, let's fast forward to the next year. Go to Matthew 14. Now, I really did my research because I wanted to make sure of this. So I have in my possession a thick book called Reese's Chronological Bible. And it's done its very best. They've done all their research to put everything in chronological order. I believe they're still available if you ever want to buy one. It's a study book, Reese's Chronological Bible. And according to that, this event that we're about to read occurs in the following year after the lady with the issue of blood. So Matthew 14, verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And now notice it's the land of Gennesaret, not a city. There's a lot of cities in this land. This is a big area. By the way, Capernaum is in this area, just so you'll know. Okay. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out, now notice, into all that country round about. All that country. A whole region, not a city. And brought unto him all that were diseased. What if we just gathered the ones in Tulsa? We'd have a bunch of diseased people. If we got all the ones in Tulsa County, that'd be a whole lot more diseased people. But if we got all of them in, say, Green Country, what they call Green Country, the northeast corner, man, that's some folks. And the way this is worded, it's trying to get you to understand we're not talking a handful of people here. It's a bunch of people. Now watch this. I got to read. It's just so good. I got to read. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Now notice. And besought him. This is their idea. Besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. He didn't suggest that. They suggested that. And as many, now get this, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The note I made under that, your testimony is important. You go tell what great things God has done for you. How did these, where in the world would these people get the idea that if they touched the hem of his garment, they could be healed? Because you're not going to find it in Scripture. You're not going to find it in the Old Testament. You can study till your eyes roll out on the floor because it's not in there. So how did they have this knowledge? This woman's testimony got spoken and spoken and spoken, and it spread and it spread, and it had reached this region, and that lady touched the hem of his garment and she got healed. And if you touch the hem of his garment, you can be healed. Your testimony is important. Share it. It builds people's faith. See? So here's some questions about this one. Well, first off, all of the questions we answered about that woman a while ago, same things apply here. But let's go a little further. This is the region of Gennesaret, not just a single city. How many people do you suppose needed healing? How large was that crowd? Now, just to have a number in mind, I don't want you to picture 10 people or 5 people. Can we picture 500? You reckon there might have been 500 sick people in that whole region? I don't think that's too hard, is it? So now picture 500 people, and I don't know if they did it one by one. Surely they didn't trample him. But now on this one, he's not going down the line laying hands on them. They're coming down the line, is the way I see it. Or they're carrying him on stretchers or something. And they're touching him, or at least the hem of the fringe on that shawl. Amen? All right. How large was that crowd? Let's just picture 500. And notice, as many as touched, what's required? Touch. How many of you believe you can touch? Okay. As many as touched him were made, not just whole, that word, perfectly whole. You know what that means to me? Like it never happened. It could have just said whole. But it said perfectly whole. I mean, that's like it never happened. You hear me pray that a lot of times. Because I believe for that. I have faith for that. Like it never even happened. Homer Betancourt is going to see like it never even happened. Do you hear me? You hear me? And soon, very soon too. Now, again, forgive Gary for some sarcasm. But as I was meditating this and I'm seeing 500 people and here's Jesus, the fruit tree, the righteous, the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. One scripture said with healing in his wings, but the way I'm seeing it, he's a tree and purged. There's no bad fruit of any kind, totally righteous. And now they're just like, I see healing just hanging off of him. And here the people come like, picking healing fruit like you'd pick an apple off a tree. I was just thinking about how lucky Jesus was that day. Now, this is sarcasm. Say, Gary, we forgive you for sarcasm. But it'll help get the point across. See, I'm just thinking, 500 of them. And every one of them got healed. Man, Jesus was lucky that day. Well, what do you mean lucky? It says every one of them got healed. So not a single one of those 500 was involved in any sin. Just think how lucky he was. There wasn't a single person. Not one. Isn't that amazing? Sue says sarcasm works. And I was thinking how lucky he was that out of that 500 people, there wasn't a single one that was holding any unforgiveness against a single person anywhere. Oh, he was lucky that day. Because you know, it couldn't happen. Here's one. He was so lucky that there wasn't a single person out of that group that lacked enough faith to be healed. Now think about that one. What you're going to find, Jesus is the Holy Spirit is your helper, but he's helping Jesus help you. That man that comes and says, I believe, help them my unbelief. Jesus does that all the time. He does that all the time. Later on, when we look at some more of these healing simplifieds, I'm going to show you where he healed people where it was none of their faith at all. And he still healed them. That's another 9. So he was really lucky nobody was involved in. Out of 500, picture 500, I don't know how many it was. Not a single one was involved in any sin. Not a single one had any unforgiveness of any kind against anybody. Not one of them lacked the amount of faith required to be healed. He was so lucky. Not a single one had spoken ugly to their spouse that day. Or to their boss. Their children. It wasn't Jesus lucky? So he could have 100% success on that healing line. I think he was really lucky that day. Y'all understand what I mean, what I'm getting at? All right. You know, he was really fortunate that not one of those people had any past experiences that kept them from receiving their healing. Not one of them had a childhood trauma. Sarcasm does work. The stuff where, I'm not saying counseling doesn't help. It helps. I'm not against anything. But listen, Jesus is not the great counselor. Jesus is the great healer. I don't ever find him counseling anything out of anybody. I see him casting out devils, healing the sick. Then he counsels them, go and sin no more. Okay. And of course, he was really lucky also that nobody had a generational curse. I'll stop there. Y'all getting the point? Say it with me. The only hindrance to healing is that I believe there is a hindrance to healing. Can you see in that example, there is no hindrance to healing? I mean, they were just normal people. Come on. These people aren't even born again. Don't tell me there wasn't some fighting and bickering and selfish ambition and all of this stuff. But none of that stopped him from healing any of them. And they chose the method to be healed. And if God was choosing one by one to heal them, isn't it amazing? He chose 100%. He's not making that. He made that decision 2,000 years ago. Now, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Because as remarkable... Can't you see that picture? And them coming by and touching him and just getting perfectly whole. I love that. Perfectly whole, every one of them. Because I think that would be building your faith if you're number 400 in the line. Hey. And they're running off and legs are growing out and God knows what all's happening, you know. I think that'd be kind of a faith builder. I think we're going to be having that in our church. Amen. I think we're going to be having that. You betcha. That'll build you some faith. But as remarkable as that image is, see, Jesus said, don't have to look it up. But you can't go ahead and turn into Acts 5. We're going to go there in a minute. Jesus said in John 14:12, as remarkable as those events are about the woman with the issue of blood and that event there, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Acts 5 will show you a greater work. It's a greater work. So we start in verse 12. Y'all ready? It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Now notice, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about. So it's not just the local folks. This is Catoosa, Broken Arrow, Sepulpa, Glenpool, all of the cities round about. They're bringing all of their sick, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Today we'd say mentally ill, a lot of them. And they were healed, every one. Peter's shadow? I said, Lord, let that happen right before dusk. I don't want it to happen at noon. The shadow's too short. See what I'm saying? Let's happen late in the day. Long shadow. Get in that renter. I believe with all my heart we're going to see that again. And it could be your shadow. I mean, one of the reasons we love Peter, he'll stick his foot in his mouth and still love God. Everybody else was too religious to ask the question. He'd go, what are we going to get out of it? We love Peter. Peter was not perfect. Yet his shadow, just his shadow. See, again, it's that point of contact. They believed that shadow went across you, you'd be healed. And they were. We are coming into a great time. So then the Lord, okay, so now, last one, Mark 16. But pretty soon you're going to just have this memorized. Mark 16. Starting in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I'm going to do a commercial for Sunday night's message, Calling in the Lost, because it's called Preaching the Gospel of the Kingdom. It would bless you. It would bless you if you have time to listen to it. Preach the gospel. He means the gospel of the kingdom. To every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Say it with me. Lord, even the devils are subject to me through thy name. When I speak in your name, heaven hears and hell bows. Did you got that? Okay. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You don't get a more important word than, I mean, not important, but a more affirmative word than shall. Not a maybe so, shall. And this is for who? Just the apostles? Just the fivefold? No, actually it's the people that the apostles and the fivefold went to. They took the gospel to these other places, and those that would believe it, those are the ones he's talking about here. He's talking about us. If we can believe it, we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he's after us to get all of them yabbits out of. Yeah, but what if they have unforgiveness? Heal them first and then talk to them about that. Yeah, but what if they were molested as a little girl? Heal them first, then talk to them about that. Well, what if they're I know God would heal him, but... Well, he's trying to get rid of our yabbits. When I first heard that sentence, the only hindrance to healing is you believe there's hindrance to healing, a herd of yabbits attacked me. I was attacked by a whole herd of... You ever been attacked by a herd of yabbits? Yeah, but what if they're in unforgiveness? And yeah, but what if they're involved in sin? And yeah, but what... And so he's taking him a while to show me. He's dismissing my herd of yabbits. No, he heals them all. And you know some of them had a bad day. You know some of them got mad at somebody. But he healed them all. And what's he telling us? If you'll believe, you lay hands on the sick, and they'll all get healed. And that goes for you today too. All right, now everybody, just stretch your hand toward me. I'm going to stretch my hand there. In the name of Jesus. This lady and these people, they touched the hem of his garment. But there is no promise like that. The point is to touch. Just a point of contact. If you're watching by television, if you're watching by internet, computer, touch it. Just touch the screen and say, Lord, I receive my healing. I receive my healing right now in Jesus' name. That lady's faith made her whole. My faith makes me whole. With his stripes, I am healed. Amen. Amen. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. All around the world, I believe people are being made perfectly whole. Amen. Right this very minute. Amen.